You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade.
And welcome back once again. It is time for installment number 63 of the Congregation of Light Fixture Coverings. No, that is also known as, better known as, the Church of the Lampshade. Glad you could join us this week. Excited to be together. Excited to get the congregation together once again. I think we'll have, it's always our goal, to have an interesting and fun, informative, truth-seeking discussion here. If you're new, stopping by new, I think you'll find that we do something very special here. This is a very interactive show between the congregation and the host. And, just a few months ago, you know, say 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago, people would look at it and be, well, that's weird. You call it the Church of the Lampshade and you refer to the listeners as the congregation. But I mean, all this is online, and now all churches are online. So all churches are now online. So we were once again on the cutting edge, on the leading edge of societal direction of the way people were going here, the way the society was going. We were just blazing new trails. We didn't even know it. Like I say, this is installment number 63 of the show. And as always, if you're unfamiliar, we'd like to start off by recognizing those who financially support the show. So we don't have the success here of the big televangelists who have congregations in reality that probably aren't any bigger than the congregation of the Church of the Lampshade, but yet they somehow managed to have new cars and jet airplanes. But you know, this is the way it is, which is closer to the reality of how it was when the early church, when the apostles were walking the earth, or when Christ himself walked the earth, which is closer to that reality. Our humble circumstances here at the Church of the Lampshade, or these flashy frauds that are on TV. I take a certain amount of heart in that, and I think y'all should too. But again, your financial support, you'll know, I always shy away from saying donations because I don't like the term. I mean, if you want to call it that, it's fine. I'm not offended. I don't use the term because I like to believe y'all are getting something in exchange here. You're actually supporting the community, as it were. If y'all want to be a part of that, and hopefully you will, that information's at the bottom of this page. We have snail mail, ever popular. We've got Bitcoin, and please do not hesitate if you've got a different cryptocurrency, because I do have people that have different cryptocurrencies they use. And drop me an email. That's down there, and I'll get you an address for that, or do my best to get you an address for that. So, don't hesitate. It is very much supported. And if you do the crypto route, I encourage you to drop a note. You don't have to, obviously. But, don't feel shy. Drop an email, even if it's just to say hi. I like to hear from y'all. I really mean that. I do enjoy hearing from y'all. Speaking of which, got a little email note here from Seattle Kirk. Grandpa Lampshade, really appreciate your wisdom and tips for surviving the upcoming economic turmoil. Always timely and much needed. Thanks for keeping the show on point. Just sent you some crypto shekels to keep the wisdom flowing. Hope you and the fam are well. Seattle Kirk. And yeah, we're like everybody else. We're just trying to get by in these crazy corona times, which my corona fatigue is extreme. I'm tired of hearing it. It's not even so much that like it's affecting me. I'm not one of these people that's sitting here locked in the house, you know, just sitting here waiting for the people on the talking box to tell me that I won't be a bad person if I go outside and live my life. I am waiting to be told that I'm not one of these people. I'm just sick of hearing about it. I'm so sick of it. I mean, like, we do the Friday show, the Daily Nationalist, Sven Longshanks and I, aka Clown World in Review, and this is usually a breeze. I mean, I read any number of news stories during the week. A lot of them are extremely stupid, and I mean, it's an easy show to do. We try to do a light topic, but there's no shortage of clown world topics. Now it's like work. Now it's like I just had to just dig to try to find something, you know, not corona related, because I'm sick of corona. I told Sven, I don't want to talk about anything corona related if I can help it. I'm just sick and tired. Never thought I would be so tired of Corona Chan. The pictures are so much cuter than the reality. Support coming in from Jackie, Grandpa Lampshade. Forgive my inconsistency in donation sending, but with the world shut down, I don't even know what day it is most of the time anymore. Hope all is well with you and the rest of the Lampshades. As always, looking forward to the next installment. Always a message of sanity in this mad, mad world. That's what we try to do here. We try to keep the sanity flowing because things are getting more and more insane. People are literally sitting in their houses because people, you know, the talking box is telling them that's what they're supposed to do. I don't think that I'm coming to the conclusion that people will literally do anything. And we remember the old, if you're old like me, you're old enough to remember the Jim Jones thing, you know, Jonestown, and the people drank the Kool-Aid and died and they had cyanide in it or whatever. And it was like this crazy cult thing that happened back in the day. And you know, it's like that now. I think if the TV told everybody to put cyanide in their Kool-Aid and drink it, I'm starting to think in the vast majority, we'd probably wind up with definitely higher death numbers than we're getting from the corona. Your vaccination from all of this is the truth, folks. And that's, again, one of the things I think is important about getting together like we do here and trying to find the truth, trying to talk about the truth, thinking about these things, learning to think through these things and approach things from a different angle and not being afraid to challenge your own views or what you hold as the truth, because if they are, they're obviously going to hold up these things. And this is your vaccination against corona, not in the sense that like against the virus itself, but against this lunacy that is coming from the virus itself. Your vaccination against the insanity is the truth. Is this ability to see through all of this emotionalism, all of this hyper fear, this mass hysteria that is being whipped up, this control that is being implemented across the nation, quite frankly. And you have people that apparently, I guess, they're doing it. I don't know. I know very few people, I'll just put it that way, I know very few people IRL who are actually sitting around locked in their houses waiting to come outside for like over a month now. I know very few people, but I just don't know very many people. But apparently it's a thing. Apparently a lot of people really are literally sitting around locked in their houses wondering when they're going to be allowed to come outside. It's insanity and it's control, and your vaccination against it is the truth. If you're used to already have the mindset, you're ahead of the curve. If you're a longtime listener to the show, you're ahead of the curve because you're used to looking for the truth instead of being emotionally manipulated. And that's what they count on. They count on you being emotionally manipulated. And if you're already of a mindset of trying to find the truth instead of that, you're way ahead of the game. Because obviously I this hasn't helped. How shall I say, this hasn't encouraged, this hasn't been very helpful in my hope for humanity, watching the way people are reacting to this, are just okay with all of this. And not everybody is. Obviously, protests are already breaking out. There was a story here this past week. Some woman took her kids to the park and got arrested for it. And, you know, so don't tell me this isn't about control. You know, there's nobody out there but her and her kids. Oh, but this is to keep everybody safe. This is to keep everybody safe. You've got to keep everybody protected. You're endangering other people. Is it right up there with your freedom of speech stops at basically what? My right to not be offended? You know, people that used to justify that and now you see it. Here, you know, well, yeah, your freedom to go outside and play at the park with your kids stops at my belief in the mass hysteria that your act of taking your kids to the park without permission is going to kill us all. It's control. It's all it is. It's control, and it's turned into utter insanity. I pointed this out recently, you know, and I see so many. In so many ways, they're reusing the same playbook as the 9/11. You know, only now, instead of the soldiers and the police being the heroes that we're all supposed to submit to and worship, now it's healthcare workers. Healthcare workers are the new heroes fighting on the front line of this war that's raging in America. Let's go stand out here and tell the healthcare workers how much we appreciate. Well, I mean, yeah, look, I'm not saying that if you get sick and have to, you know, you're sick enough, you got to go to the doctor. I mean, yeah, of course you're going to appreciate what they do, but this hero worship nonsense, it's sickening. And here I talk about being corona fatigued, and I wind up droning on about corona. Mr. T, hope this helps. God bless you. It does help. Believe me, folks, it does help. Little note here about, quality of writing or whatever. Look, just a note is fine. I don't expect y'all to say something profound. Just a note saying hope all is well. I mean, I'm good with that. I mean, could you imagine walking into like a physical church, you know, and back in the day, I guess they don't do it anymore now. Maybe they do it some, but, you know, the preacher stands at the door, and as everybody's coming in or out, you know, he stands there and greets them and shakes their hand. You know, could you imagine going into your little country church and you shake the preacher's hand, you say good morning, and he's like, that's all you got to say. Get the hell out of here. You know, hearing a greeting is good enough. It's just all a part. I think what it really sets the show apart, and what makes one of the many things, honestly, that makes this show unique is this feeling of two-way communication that we have here. At least that's what I feel. Maybe y'all don't feel that way. That's the way I feel. Rock Dad, Grandpa Lampshade, a modest contribution your way. Hope it finds you well. I always seem to be repeating myself, but one of the biggest problems with Christians, or for Christians today, I'm sorry, is the communization of the church. I kind of like that. The communization, or as it has been referred to as the cucking of the church. I've heard before that the Jews actually have tried to Judaize Christianity by changing the meaning of the scripture. Anyway, I just am constantly told by quote unquote good Christians how great the Jews are, and that Jesus was a Jew and Jesus was the King of the Jews. It's disgusting to say the least. There is no changing these people's minds. When you point out all the evil and antichrist things the Jews have done and stand for, you are labeled a heretic. Prayers your way, Rock Dad. What makes this really breathtaking is, you know, it's not as though the Jews themselves are running around saying this about themselves. You know, that's by and large, there may be a few that do, but I mean, by and large, I mean, the Jews themselves aren't running around going, hey, you need to remember that Jesus is our king, not y'all's. I mean, that would be one thing, you know, and the people were fooled by that, but they're not even doing that. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they don't have a hand in it. You look at these amazingly wealthy guys on TV preaching, and they have all this money, and there are so many of their sermons seem to be centered around how we have to support Israel no matter what. Granted, all the dots aren't there, but I'm drawing lines between the dots I can see, and I'm thinking, you know, so look, it serves a certain purpose, shall we say, but the act itself, I mean, again, the Jews then, you know, the whole here's the King of the Jews on the cross. I mean, that was Pilate sticking his thumb in their eyes, and they protest. They were like, no, he's not. Don't put on there. He claimed to be the King of the Jews. So even the Jews then, and your modern day Jews, I mean, they're not running around claiming this, but these idiots have just taken it upon themselves. So again, power of suggestion, and obviously the Jews don't mind them doing this because it works to their benefit. But again, people have to make the choice. That's why one of the things I think is important, and we've already mentioned this, is having the mindset of seeking the truth. Because if you're seeking the truth, you're seeking Christ. I say this time and time again, like a broken record, but Christ and truth is inseparable. And if you have a mindset of seeking the truth, this is why for you, when you see these people, it's breathtaking, because it's not truth. You have people that are claiming to be Christians, which means they should be truth-centered, truth-focused, seeking the truth, and they're obviously promoting an absolute lie. I mean, it's an absolute lie, and yet, this is what they're promoting. This is why I think it is. It is so important to have a truth-seeking mindset, you know, to have that mindset where you're looking for the truth, because you can't fall for this sort of nonsense. It is It is hard to fathom. I've mentioned it before, but when you go by a church, and this happened to me, IRL, go by a church, and there they have the U.S. flag, the Texas flag, and right in the middle, the centerpiece, they have the Israeli flag. I mean, what the hell is that? I mean, it's a flag of a foreign country. Not even being anti-Semitic here, folks. It's a flag of a foreign country. I mean, it would be like, could you imagine if you went by a Christian church and they were flying, I don't know, the flag of Italy, or they were flying the Iranian flag, the Syrian flag. I mean, you would be like, why are you flying the flag of another, of a foreign nation? It doesn't even make sense. And yet these people are doing that. These people are flying the flag of a foreign nation. Before nation, honestly, it's, if that isn't subversive, I mean, if you were living in a, I don't know, a sane nation from centuries gone by, and the church started suddenly, you know, you think of the old European days, you know, when Europe was ruled by kingdoms and such. Imagine if you lived in Spain, for instance, and you went out there and suddenly the church in Spain was flying the flag of France. I mean, there would be just no small amount of uproar over this because you're flying the flag of another nation. And yet it happens here. Nobody thinks anything about it. If they were flying the flag of Russia or China, there would be much hubbub. There'd probably be news stories about what is this crazy right-wing church doing. But they fly the flag of Israel, another foreign nation, and nobody thinks anything of it. It's utter insanity. And of course, it's not promoted because guess who, by and large, controls the media? I mean, we know this. I mean, it's considered anti-Semitic to point out the obvious. But I mean, we know this is why the Israeli flag flying at equal mast of the U.S. flag is no problem. If it was a Chinese flag, we know there would be all kinds of hell to pay. There would be all kinds of media uproar of it. And what are these people about? What are they doing? What are they promoting? Why are they flying the Chinese flag or the Russian flag at equal mast height to boot in front of their church? But here's the thing when it comes to Christianity and this, and to get back to kind of the center point of this, you know, you do well to remember, because again, Christian believers who have fallen for this, they're led astray and whatnot. The devil, I guess what I want to say is, if you look all through the scripture and the way the devil operates when he leads you astray from the truth, it's always in the end your choice. You see these stupid movies, you know, and like demons are like coming out and they're grabbing you and they're twisting you and I'm going to drag you to hell. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The way that Satan works is, in the end, the choice is always yours. He can make it sound good. He can dress it up good. He dresses lies up with a little bit of facts in order to try to make it seem correct and all. But in the end, it's your choice to make. In the end, it is you has to choose if you want to embrace the lie or if you want to. And again, it's human nature. We're in a fallen state as long as we walk in this world, that, you know, sometimes we're going to be incorrect. You know, sometimes you may get tricked by the lie. But if you're a truth seeker, this is why I was saying earlier, it's important to always be willing to challenge your worldview, because look, I mean, you can't have all the information. Sometimes you're going to find out that you fell for something that was incorrect. And if you're not willing to admit that and change your course, then you're going to continue to be under the lie. I mean, you're going to continue to have something that is not true, that is a part of your thinking structure, is a part of the framework of how you view the world. I mean, you look at Jesus, I mean, the crowds would show up and they would be all excited. And then he would tell them a truth that they didn't want to accept, and poof, they were all gone. And you don't want to have that mindset. You don't want to be you want to be part of the fair weather crowd that showed up as long as the miracles and the free food was there. But as soon as that ends and the, you know, things that challenge your current belief or your current worldview show up, even though they're true, you fall away and you run away. if you don't want to have that mindset, that is how the devil tricks you. And that is one of the really real weaknesses, I think, that has caused the modern cuck church to become what it is. The people have the choice along the way. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. It falls to church leadership and over the years past that have not held to the scripture. They have compromised and just it became a business model, and it's all about getting people to show up and getting more people to come in, and then more people will give us money, and it just became a business model. And the truth, it became a marketing thing instead of a truth thing. The truth got ejected and replaced with slick marketing, which is about trying to get people in. You get people in by telling them what they want to hear. You get people in by telling them what they want to hear, that no matter what, they're all great people. You're not in a fallen state. You've never sinned. And even if you have sinned, it doesn't matter because Jesus. And it becomes a motivational speaking. Instead of preaching the truth, it becomes TED Talks. And in so doing, over the years, you wind up with this caricature. The caricature that is the modern cuck church. Anyway, thank you for all the notes from the listener supporters. Again, the information's at the bottom of the page. Encourage you to be a part of it. And again, whether you have something you want to get off your chest, whether you have another comment, a question, or you just want to say, hey, hope all is well. Either way, it's good to hear from you. Either way, I do appreciate the support. And those of you that don't say anything, that's fine too. I do really, bottom of my heart, I appreciate the support for what we're doing here. One of the things that I find interesting, and as I look around at the world today, no, I'm not getting into the Christian specific segment. That'll be along here in a little bit. So you, if that's not your cup of tea, we're not heading off in there. But one of the things I find interesting is, in the scripture, like Babylon is always seems to be represented as like a nation or a city. It's always illustrated as a city, but where like all of these people from around the world come to trade and great wealth is generated there. And I was thinking about the diversity of it all. And I think about how the U.S. Today, or even in Western Europe or Britain or wherever, is really very, in a biblical sense, Babylonian. And of course, what I mean by that is the diversity, where you have people from all over the world together in an attempt to simply generate wealth. It's not a nation in the true sense. I mean, because to be a nation, there has to be a homogenous factor to it. You have to have a group of people, like an extended family. And it is like what has always made a nation throughout the world, but we don't have that. We have this diversity thing where we bring the world into one central location, and then we're supposed to be shocked when there's all this conflict and friction. I don't know how people promote this when, with a straight face, when the results are right there. I mean, they're right in front of you. I don't understand how people believe that the leaderships in these nations in Western Europe and any of the West are just like somehow it's like, oh, well, they're naive. They're naive and stupid. And they just think that this will work. And they're just operating on faith. But the results are right in front of you. I mean, if you believe that a good way to heat your home would be to build a campfire in the corner of your bedroom just because you were stupid. It would be breathtakingly stupid, but I guess you could say, well, they didn't know any better. But once they lit the fire and the room is going up in smoke and they're coughing and choking and they sit here and instead of doing something about it, they keep you look at them and they're still throwing wood and they're putting more gas on it and trying to build the fire bigger. You would say you would go from, oh, well, they were silly and misled and thought this was a good idea, though it obviously wasn't, to they're doing this on purpose. And I just don't understand how people have the view that this is like somehow by accident, that this is, I don't know, people being naive and foolish and not knowing any better, because now we've had years, we've got this result. Do we have more conflict in the country now? Is there more conflict between people in these nations now, or is there less? And the answer is there. I mean, it's just in your face. It's not even, you know, this isn't even conspiracy theory land. I mean, the numbers are there. The reality is right in front of you. And yet they keep throwing more wood on the fire. The answer is to keep throwing more wood on the fire. And it keeps collapsing. You know, God separated the nations of men, and he did so for a reason. He gave people different languages and things such as this. He did that for a reason. And when you watch this push for the diversity, this push to keep, to all of a sudden bring everybody together and cram them into the same geographical location, it is obviously an open rebellion against what God has established. It is an open rebellion against the natural order, because it's not like God's forcing people. I mean, if you leave things to nature, this is what people do. You go to a school and it's been integrated. This school has been, it was too white. We bust in blacks and we bust in all of these other people. And you go in there and you go to the cafeteria, and generally you're going to see the blacks all in one area, the whites in another area, and the brown people in another area of their own. It's the same in prisons. They, you know, everybody tends to self-segregate. This is the natural order. This is what people do just by their very nature. And yet you see this rebellion against the natural order in this attempt to force people together when that's not what they want to do, because it's, again, it's just by their very nature. They don't want to do this, but they keep telling us this is going to make us somehow stronger. It doesn't, and it doesn't make anybody any stronger. It just seems, it just comes across as those who are hoping for control while the world is in chaos, while the world is in turmoil. It comes across as an attempt to have control while the masses are busy, you know, attacking one another, while these different races are busy attacking one another and going after one another and blaming one another. It seems like it's an attempt to exert control during all of the chaos. Again, as much as I'm loath to bring up this whole corona lockdown thing, again, you see this chaos that is being generated. More chaos is coming. I do believe food shortages are coming down the road. You look at these people, and now you have massive unemployment just virtually overnight. This is chaos. You suddenly have put all these people out of work. You've put people out of work. You've shut businesses down. And you can see the element of control. Nobody's questioning. Well, some of us are, but I mean, it's not really being legally challenged. You have these governors just on their own. You have the government on state level, federal level, on local level even. All of a sudden, they have dictated themselves the power to tell you when and when you can't open your business. They're telling you how close you can stand to another person. They've generated all of this chaos, and now people are out of work, and people are worried about how they're going to keep their lights on, and people are worried about how they're going to pay their electric bill. People are worried about how they're going to survive. And in this chaos, they are exerting control. They're telling you literally, if you could stand close, how close you can stand to another person. Let that sink in for a minute, because there's so much going on. They're bombarding you with so many things and so much. It's easy to really do. You just got to step back and look at the reality. If I told you 20 years ago, good night, 30 years ago, if I said there would be a time, not only will the U.S. government close down Christian churches and arrest pastors that refuse to stop congregating and preaching the word of God, but they will dictate how close you can stand to another person, even a family member. I would have been labeled a lunatic, beyond tinfoil conspiracy theorist. Really, think about it. If you're old enough, I mean, if you're a young person, I guess you can't think back that far. But if you've got any age on you at all, just think about it. Think about being in the 80s or the early 90s and going around and telling people the time's going to come. Not only will the government shut down Christian churches, they will arrest pastors who refuse to stop bringing the congregation together. They're going to dictate how close you can stand to another person. I mean, you would have been looked at as a lunatic. But this is the reality that we're in today. And this reality came about in a matter of a month, a few weeks. All they had to do was whip up some hysteria. All they had to do was to whip up some chaos. Chaos. Get everybody on TV talking about how you're all going to die. Do you know anybody that's died from this? If you have, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not saying nobody has died from it, but I'm talking about the chaos. They whip up the hysteria. They tell you you're going to die. They put these death numbers up over and over and over on the TV, and they put up screens and show how many people in your area in this county now have the disease. Chaos. It breeds chaos. Now you don't know if you're ever going to have a job to go back to. How are you going to buy food? We were promised a lousy $1,200 a piece. Like that was somehow going to keep us going for months on end. And that hasn't even showed up. And yet the corporations have managed to go in and swoop in millions and millions of dollars out of what was supposed to be a fund for small businesses. As the corruption now is just once again another one of those things that is just undeniable as it's in your face. But the control is exerted through the chaos. And that need for control becomes greater because the corruption is reaching the point. I was having a discussion IRL with somebody the other day. And you know, a nation, a country, you know, it can tolerate some corruption because people are corruptible. I mean, you know, you have people. That is the state of man. And once again, this is the importance of being a Christian believer, because one of the things I think about being a Christian believer is understanding and accepting the reality of the fallen state of man. One of the things I've always found tiring is if you discuss things such as, you know, conversations I enjoy having is, you know, what would be another form of government we could enact? Something, anything, what could we put together? You know, should we just put together straight up monarchy? Should we put together, try to recreate like a national socialist state? Should we do like a combination of different things and try to create something different, much like the founding fathers of the U.S. tried to do so many years ago? They tried to cobble something together. Let's try this. Let's try these elements. I like this. Let's put this together and see if it works. And you will inevitably run into somebody that's going, that won't work because eventually this will happen. And the notion always seems to be that you have to dismiss any option besides the current lunacy. I think pretty much anything except out and out communism would be an improvement over the rapidly decaying system we have now. But it's always implied like you can't consider anything unless you can somehow like prove that it can last 1,000 years. And that's stupid. It's stupid because it doesn't recognize the reality of the fallen nature of people. People are corruptible. If you have a great king, if you are ruled by a great king, and man, he cared about his people, he loved his people, he passed decrees and laws that were for the benefit of his people, and he brought the culture up, and he brought economic prosperity, and it was a great thing. I mean, at some point, he's going to die. Even if he lives to be an old man, he's going to die. And who's to say the guy who replaces him is going to be at that level? He might be a total shitbag. And now you're living under a shitbag king. Of course, the reassurance of that is he, too, is only going to live so long. So, you know, the next guy might be better. Under this current system, we just seem to be going only in one direction. And it ain't up. But we are seeing, these are chaotic times. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Just 2020 has just been a historical year. We've seen things just, and we're just barely really getting into the year. And we are seeing things we never would have thought imaginable. We're seeing amounts of chaos. I imagine just 5 years ago, if you said you're going to wake up one day and they're going to essentially shut down the entire economy and bring about, you know, double digit and then some unemployment. You would have said, why would they do that? I mean, it would be crazy. But again, we're seeing in all of this chaos, this uncertainty, and uncertainty in itself is chaos, because we as people, as human beings, we like predictability in our lives. We do. Well, I do. I'm not going to lie. I'm always this type of person. Yes, let's talk about me. I'm the type of person that I'm always conflicted because, like, you have this routine, and I find a certain amount of, comfort in things staying the same and staying in this routine. But yet at the same time, like in contradiction to that, routine day in, day out, things being the same starts driving me kind of crazy. And it's like I get ready to like blow everything up and try something different, you know, because I just don't want to do the same thing over and over again. Yeah. But no, as human beings, we take comfort in predictability and routine. And that's why you see like the masses, you see people in general try to cling, even when it's obvious that their lives are changing, that the world around them is changing. They try to cling to this imaginary reality. We've got to get back to the Constitution. That's dead and gone, folks. I mean, what part of it now has not been shredded? When they're arresting a woman for taking her kids to the park because they haven't told you it's okay, what part of the Constitution? What constitutional authority says women are not allowed to take their kids to the park unless the government says so? And yet you have people try to talk about, well, the Constitution, it's gone. So you see people cling to this, I don't know, fake reality, this the way they want things to be, the way they want to believe things are, even though they're obviously, they are not. But they feel the need to cling to it because there is a comfort. They want things to stay the same. They don't want their routine to change. They want everything to remain the same. It's kind of like death. You know, you talk about death and we always want to believe that someday way off something. You know, in the meantime, that's something that happens to other people. We all imagine we're going to live to be 100 years old, you know, and die peacefully in our sleep. But you want to, you know, it's human nature. Death is something that's going to happen way off somewhere. I don't need to think about that. Or it happens to other people. You create this false reality that your life is essentially standing still. Time is standing still for you. What you do each day doesn't really matter because there's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow, but there may not be tomorrow. I mean, death is the ultimate reality, and it's the one that's so very difficult for people to face. So they ignore it. They ignore it. They aren't ever prepared for it. Have you ever known people that just like when death finally came around, and they fought it to the bitter? I'm not talking about, yeah, I mean, you know, you want to cling to life, but I mean, like, you have a terminal illness, and I've known people that, or of people, I should say, that have had, you know, they've got a terminal illness, they're going to die, and they fight it tooth and nail. And again, I'm not saying you should just give up and die, but it goes beyond just the will to live. It goes into, they're not fighting because they want to live, they want to accomplish, it's like a struggle. It's not that. It's just because they're afraid to die. They're scared to death that now this reality is coming knocking. They've ignored it their whole lives. It was always going to be something that happened somewhere else or to somebody else or maybe sometime in the future, but we don't really need to think about that. It's like that in that people just want to imagine that their lives are always going to stay the way they were, even though right now you look around, your life is not the way it was. Regardless of your opinion on the coronavirus, it doesn't matter because your life has been affected now by other people, by those who hold power, by those who are gaining more control via the chaos that is being generated. And one can have to assume that as more chaos is generated, more control will be attempted to be exerted, and more chaos is generated each and every day. No matter what's in the news headlines, more chaos is generated. Oh, look, you know, one of the big things this past week was Georgia's trying to open too soon. Nobody's asking who the hell gave the government the authority in the first place to tell people that they can't go shop at certain stores. You can go congregate at the supermarket. That's fine. But you can't go buy a knickknack. You can go to a mega grocery store. You can go to a mega grocery store with a whole bunch of other people, but you can't go to, you're not allowed to open your local knickknack shop where there might be two other people in there. all in the name that you're not going to spread a disease or something. So yeah, they're throwing a fit. You know, so you've got Georgia trying to open a little bit, and they throw up more chaos about this pseudo outrage. You can't do this. On the other hand, you have supposed experts. You have some leaders who are proclaiming that basically we need to stay on this current state of lockdown indefinitely, maybe even for years, because the virus could always come back. This too generates chaos. If you've got people, if you were locked in your house right now and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills and you don't know how you're going to get by and you don't know how you're even going to buy food, and this is becoming a reality for more and more people each day. And then you see an authority figure on TV talking about this needs to continue indefinitely. And you're sitting there in the back of your mind going, this can't continue indefinitely. I can't continue living like this indefinitely. I don't have enough money to get by next week. And they're talking indefinitely. Even if you believe the virus hysteria, probably more so if you believe the virus hysteria, if you 100% convinced that you're gonna die if you catch this coronavirus. Even if you're 100% convinced of that, the reality of your financial situation, this is not sustainable. I can't keep buying. I'm not going to be able to buy food in a week. I have $200 left in the bank and I can't buy food in a week. And they're telling me this needs to go on maybe for a couple of years until we develop a vaccine. Bill Gates is working on it feverishly. Don't worry. He's going to create a vaccine that will be on par with Windows 8 for the coronavirus. And then you'll be able to get your government papers and might be allowed to go outside. This is actually being talked about, by the way. You know, once again, chaos and control are being, you see, they're running on this parallel path. They're now openly talking about, we're not going to be able to end this until a vaccine is developed. And when a vaccine is developed, you'll have to go get it. You'll have to be tested for antibodies. You will have to get a government certification. You have to get a government certification to be allowed to come out of your house and to go to work and socialize with other people. And that'll have to be renewed. But don't worry, I'm sure this government is so totally not corrupt that, you know, like if you have the wrong political views and you're a truth speaker, I'm sure they wouldn't just say, nope, you just don't get the corona certificate. So, sorry, you don't get to go out in public. You have to stay in your house. Control. The control is increasing each day. I mean, the things they're proposing. You see, they float new trial balloons out every single day to see, well, would the people go along with this? And by and large, the answer seems to be yes, although unrest is starting to grow. I've always felt, you know, like when you read the scripture and it talked about you have to have the mark of the beast, you know, to be able to buy, sell, trade, and work. You know, I've never felt that that was like, I never viewed that as like literally like they were going to brand you like cattle. You had to go get branded or something. I always felt that was a metaphor. You know, that was like an illustration of sorts. But yet now they're talking about you have to have like their papers. You're going to have their permission. You're going to have to have this approval just to simply be able to leave your house. But if you can't do any of those things, how are you even supposed to live? You're supposed to sit in your house until you die? Is that what they're implying here? The levels of control, again, they're coinciding with the levels of chaos, and they're generating more and more chaos each and every day, whether it's supposed good news, like we're going to reopen the state, or whether they go on the other extreme and tell you they have an expert on that tells you that this, they're going to have to lock you in your house for indefinitely, for maybe years even, because if you go outside, you could die. All of these things are generating chaos. And as the chaos increases, so does the control. We're going to wrap up on that note and get into the Christian-specific message this week. It'll be lots of lulls. Most of you, this is probably why you even tuned into the show in the first place, because it's so great. But whether if that's not your cup of tea, you don't want to hang around for it, you know, Whether you're a Christian believer or not, you're always welcome, obviously. But either way, we're going to get into that segment of the show. So we're going to wrap up the normal segment. Those of you who don't hang around for that, I'm glad you joined us. The rest of you, you know what to do. Get in here, fill those pews. It's time for a Christian-specific message this week at the Church of the Lampshade. And as you get settled in, maybe you're like me and you paused for a moment. Got a fresh cup of coffee. It's what I do. I have this routine. I pause and usually go get a fresh cup of coffee. As you get settled in here, we may do a couple different messages this week. It depends on how long we take with the first one. If not, we may do. I think we have a lot of good stuff to cover here. But we're gonna get to one way or the other. We'll get to the second one maybe next week. Maybe some other. I don't know. But we may do two today. If so, it'll just be like a double bonus. But what I wanted to get to today, and yes, this decision was made like right now. That's the way we roll here at the Church of the Lampshade. Or is it the Congregation of Light Fixture Coverings? Not sure. I just can't seem to get away from that theme. It's my own brand of marketing. I guess we'll go ahead and start off like we like to do so much of the time. We'll go ahead and start off with our scripture and then try to make the points, find the truth in it that we'd like to reflect on this week. And we're going to start off for our scripture. We're going to do the book of Luke. We're going to be chapter 14. We're going to start at verse 25. And we're going to be reflecting on the importance of your faith and everything you undertake. I've always been I'll get asked from time to time when somebody say in nationalism suddenly seems to go off and it's gonna go off the deep end. As y'all know, I don't do drama except Korean drama. I watch those, but I don't do drama in the community, as it were. But one of the things I've always pointed out to people is that it's easy to talk hella shit until you're the one that's under the gun. Nobody really knows. You don't really know how you're going to react until you are actually under the gun. You are actually being, how do I want to put it? You are actually being persecuted. You are actually being tried. You're being attacked in whatever form or another. And as somebody who has been on the receiving end of this sort of thing, as you all well know, I mean, I look back at how I've handled things over time, and there's some things it's like, cringe, you know, and then there's other things, you know, there's things I've tried that did not work. You don't, but all in all, I've tried to always stick with the truth, and in that, I'm pleased with. I've always tried to seek the truth, but when you see other people and people be all upset and everything, but I always say you don't know how you're going to react until you are the one being threatened, until you are the one who's being pressured, is facing persecution. Whether you're right or wrong in what you have said, the truth doesn't ever fit in. You don't really know. But here's the thing. You've got to be, this is where the importance of the truth and it fitting into your faith. As you all know, I've said repeatedly, I've already said it in this show, you know, Christ, you know, you cannot separate Jesus Christ from the truth. And this gives you that anchor you need. Yeah, I've never pretended to have some sort of like, I just love my people, because there's a whole lot of white people that are sheep. There are a whole lot of white people that are just stupid. There's a lot of white people that are just shitheads. I don't pretend to have like this undying love for my people. I do all of this for my people. Yeah, I mean, really, are we doing all of this for soy boy Captain Cuck, who hates you and gets off on signaling points against you on social media because he's white? Are you doing it for him? I'm not. Now, I have love for my people as far as my fellow believers, as far as you, the audience. And as I've said, in a scriptural sense, the scripture teaches us that these things are not just words. It's not just empty emotionalism. It is action. You know, I show my love. For instance, I'm not bragging on myself. Please don't think that I am. I am showing, you know, my love is in the form of action, in that I can continue to meet with you. We continue to go through this. I continue to do these shows. This is my action of love for y'all, for the audience. I mean, it would be, believe me, there's times I'm just like, I really, this is more trouble than it's worth. You know, I mean, just, it is, but I do love the congregation. I do love my fellow believers. Those of you who are part of this, I feel a sense of love, and that is expressed in taking the action of doing these shows. But I don't pretend to have a love for just my people as a general thing, because that would be fake. That would be a lie. And I think when you see people who maybe they start off with the best of intentions. Drink more coffee. When they start off with maybe the best of intentions, or they start off and then, well, when things get harder and they don't have that, you know, that faith, the Christian fundamental faith of the truth to hold to, you will see them kind of go off the rails or do things and seem to even just abandon the very things that they used to say. And I'm not pointing to any person individually, because we've seen this, you know, multiple times before. Well, we've seen this multiple times before, and you've seen it, and I think what I'm going to try to do here is really tie in the importance of your Christian faith in these things as you undertake. Because again, if you seek the truth, all the rest of this is going to fall into place. You're going to be lined up on the truth of say nationalism, if you're centering yourself on the truth. Because again, these things are in the natural order, and they can't help but to line up. If you seek the truth, you can't help but to find Christ, because they are inseparable. But likewise, you can't find Christ if you continue to promote the lie. If you embrace the lies of this world, you're going to find yourself further from Christ and not nearer to Christ. So we're going to do Luke 14. Chapter 14, starting at verse 25. And I think this will illustrate kind of what I'm probably not conveying very well. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and even and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The things I find amazing about Jesus is, you know, he did the opposite of what you would do if you were trying to like build a movement, for instance. He's got a great multitude now is following along. Now, human nature would say you would tell these people anything you want. You're trying to get the multitude bigger. If there's a bigger multitude, they can throw more alms in the sack, right? And you get more money. You're trying to grow the multitudes. I mean, this is like the worst. Jesus was like the worst person at marketing ever, because he didn't care about any of that. It's about the truth. He has this great multitude, and any man alive would sit here and say, now I need to start pumping these people up. I need to keep telling them what they want to hear. This is what brought, okay, what message did I do? What did we do that brought these multitudes here? Now we need to do more of that. We need a bigger multitude, and then we'll have huge power. We'll have more power. We'll have this huge following. We'll have more money. This is what any person alive would do. And what does Jesus do? He turns around and tells them, y'all can't even be following me unless you hate your mother and father, your sisters and brother, and really even your own life. And it's just like, what? Now the non-believer will point to this. And I've seen it. They'll point to this scripture here and say that, see, Jesus says to hate your family. He says to hate your family and your people. That's what. No, that's not what he's saying. He's talking about you're going to have to be willing to give those things up for his sake. He's talking about the price you will have to pay. You think about your views. You're just a listener of the show and you're like, hey, you know, but let's say all of a sudden you get the spotlight thrown on you and they write slanted articles about you and take things you've said out of context and they paint this narrative of a horrible person you are, trust me, you will have family that will turn against you. You will have family that knew you your whole life because they're family, and they will turn their back on you. They will disown you, have nothing to do with you because something that complete strangers said about you. Now, if you're not doing this out of a true faith in Christ, or you have this cement foundation that you, this goes beyond this world, this goes beyond this circumstance, this life even, you see, this life, this is bigger than my own life. It is a spiritual thing. If you don't have that, it's going to be very hard. And again, people talk hella shit when you're not doing it. It's just like people say, you see them on Gab all the time. Patriotards do this all of the time. You know, if the government comes for my guns, they'll say these things. So you'll see them. You know what I'm talking about. You know the ones I'm talking about. They'll be saying things like, if the government comes for my guns, they're going to have to pry them from my cold dead finger. And you know, it's bullshit. You know, oh, really? You're talking about your gun that you believe the Second Amendment says you have the right to have? Yes, but that you don't buy unless the government gives you permission to buy, and that you keep in a government-approved locked safe in a government-approved manner, and you followed every law-abiding thing. But you're going to tell me that'll be a line too far if the government says they're going to come and they've decided that you're not law-abiding unless you hand your guns over. And they'll talk all this hella shit, but they're not. They're going to hand them over. It's probably not going to happen because they don't need to, because why would the government need the conflict? They're going to sheepishly go along. They're going to go along with being locked in their house if they're told to. They're going to go along with their, you know, with women being locked up, arrested for taking their kids to the park. But if they come for my gun, they're not going to come for your guns. You're going along with everything else. Why the hell would they even? Why would they even need to? No. Reverend Lampshade, this is supposed to be the Christian specific segment, not the Corona segment. Yes. No, he's telling you that, look, at some point in time, if you hold to the truth, even your own family, even your house, he says, I bring division one against the other. He's warning you. This goes back to, like I covered some time ago, when Christ turned the rich man away and said, you know, it's harder for a rich man into the kingdom of God than a camel go through the eye of a needle. You're familiar with the scripture. And it always came across as like he was being mean because this guy really believed and wanted to follow, and he basically turns him away. But he was doing him a favor. Once again, this is Jesus doing you a favor. If you're not willing, you know, look, this is what's going to happen. If you stand by me, you're standing by the truth. And if you keep telling the truth in a world that lives on lies, and it's worse now than it was then at some point in time, you're not going to be popular. If you're not willing to face that, y'all need to go now. Look, y'all all here. We got a big multitude of people. And once again, this is Christ giving the truth. He's not saying what's popular. He's not saying what's going to get him a bigger multitude. He's saying the truth. Look, I'm doing y'all a favor. Look, y'all have just showed up for the free food, to watch the miracle show, and to hear some words and motivating words. And that's all well and good. But y'all are also a whole bunch of y'all starting to talk a whole lot of nonsense about, oh, we're going to follow this guy to the ends of the world. And look, this is what you're going to have to be willing to do. This could cost you your very life, if not in that you could be executed for it, which is a possibility, but you could be, say, financially ruined for it. You could be socially ostracized for it, to where even your own family turns their back on you. It's a warning. It's a warning, and Christ is giving you that warning. Let's continue. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So y'all are all saying you want to be my disciple, but look, this is sort of things that you're going to face. I'm warning you. I'm warning you up front. But you got to face those things if you're going to be in the truth. As we see this world of lies being accelerated, yeah. Speaking the truth is going to face more opposition. It's the reality of it. And they're always going to frame it differently. They're not going to come for you and say, we're shutting you down because you're a Christian believer. Look at these preachers, for instance, who have not gone along with shutting their churches down. They say, you're not going to stop us from having Easter services. And they come and arrest him. Well, they don't say we're arresting him for preaching the word of God on Easter Sunday. They arrest him because he's violating the public order. He's endangering the public by having these church services and exposing the people to the corona, which is going to kill us all. You see, they're never going to frame it in the sense of we're arresting you for preaching the word of God. They aren't going to do that. But they'll have something else. You're promoting the hatred. You're promoting racism. You're promoting evil thoughts. You're promoting anti-Semitism. You're promoting hatreds of people for their race. Or their whatever orientation, whatever the hell. There's always going to be another fig leaf on there. You see, they're always going to hang some sort of fig leaf of legitimacy on that. So you can expect that. But Christ is saying, look, these things go hand in hand. If you're going to speak the truth, if you're going to walk in the truth in this life, it's not going to be pleasant. Who wants to bear a cross? Who wants to pick up a big, heavy cross and drag it? This is just a mind-blowing illustration he's using here. You have to carry this huge, heavy burden, okay? Guess what happens when you get to the end of it? They're going to hang your ass on that thing. You're going to carry this burden and at the end, quite possibly face death. For it. I'm not saying you're going to die for the word of God. I'm not saying that, but you have to carry that burden that as you walk this path, it could very well cost you your very life at the end, not just your physical life, but your social life. The things that you hold dear. I find this very difficult, by the way. I have a hard time accepting this. I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, I'm good with it. Lord, lead me on. Jesus, I got a real problem with this. And yet we continue on. Let's continue on in this scripture. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Again, we can read, there's so much in the scripture that we read just a few verses here and we keep having to stop because there's so much here. Now, I referred to earlier when you've seen on countless times, you've seen people stand up and they proclaim these beliefs. And so, and as the heat increases, they're unable to finish what they started to build. Why? Because they were building up themselves. If you were not, this is important of the importance of your spiritual faith here, because if you are not building of Christ, then you're just trying to build of your own hands. How are you going to get by that? You know what I'm saying? If you're not doing any more, this is just kind of a money-making scheme, you know? Hey, we get tell people this stuff and they like to hear it and they'll send us money. But when they cut all of that off, you know, how do you continue? Why do you continue? You continue if you believe that there is more to it. And again, I have a real problem with this because I sit around and do this inventory all the time. You know, lest, you know, before building a tower, sit not and decide if you're going to have enough finance to just finish. Other way, you imagine you're going to build a house. You're going to build a house. You tell everybody in your neighborhood, I'm building a new house, man. I'm rolling in the dough. My business is doing good. I'm building a new brick home. And everybody sees you build the land. You buy the land. They're like, man, I guess he's doing all right. And then they see you lay the foundation and he's doing all right. Looks like it's going to be a big house. His business must be doing well. And then you see they've got the plumbing in. And then you see, oh, they're framing it up. And then they come back 6 weeks later and ain't nothing happened. And now you ain't nowhere around talking about, oh, this big house you're going to build. And then a year goes by and now the framework is rotting because there's been no workers there and nobody has done any work on it for over a year. And everybody's going to be like, I guess that guy didn't have the money he was bragging now, did he? He was claiming he was going to build this big house because his business was doing so well. And look at that. It would have been better if he'd never started. They would have said, well, you know, whatever, you know. But when he went around and told everybody he was going to build this big house and they saw it starting to come together and then all of a sudden you stop, then that just looks like foolishness. He undertook this and thought his business was going to last and he was going to do so well. And now look, nothing. And again, I've always found, I find this passage of scripture troubling because I do a self-inventory all the time and I'm like, Lord, I don't think so. You know, I think you got the wrong guy for this. You know, I did think you got the wrong guy here. And it's like I've always said, if I had to identify with a prophet of the Old Testament, it'd be Jonah gets like drug kicking and screaming to go prophesy to the Ninevites. Like, I don't wanna. Yeah, but yeah. So look, if you don't have. And how many times have you seen people and they proclaim they were going to start something great? We're starting something new. We're going to do this great thing. And then halfway through it or even a quarter of the way through, whatever, it doesn't get completed. It all falls apart. This is the Lord warning you about that. And again, you're not going to have, if you're willing to give up everything for something, I'm sorry, I don't think you're going to be able to do that for things of this world. If you're building something and it's just worldly, it's always going to be compared in a price versus profit, a cost versus benefit analysis in the back of your mind. You know, you don't matter. You can go through some hard times if you think at the end, you know, I don't know, I'm going to be the Fuhrer of America and the people, the masses will be standing out there hailing at me or whatever, you know. But when it becomes apparent that that's not going to happen and instead this is just going to cost you a bunch of headache and you can't even get a shitty job somewhere. And yeah, you're going to stop. You're going to walk away. This is where your promotion of the truth has to be tied with your belief and your faith in Christ. You've got to believe that, oh, look, the Lord's warned me that these things don't go smooth. I'm going to be $1 million televangelist on TV. Say, I got to bear a cross. You have got to bear a cross. You walk in truth. Let's continue on. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. I think it's interesting that he uses an illustration of being outmanned. You know, he didn't, you think about it, because I think it's important. He doesn't give an occasion where a king with 20,000 guys has to decide whether or not he can go out and defend himself against another king that's bringing an army of half as many guys, 10,000 people. He uses an illustration where you're outnumbered 2-1, essentially, as you got to decide whether or not you're going to go out and meet these overwhelming odds in battle and whether or not you can win. If you can't, then you're going to go out and send an ambassador. You're going to send a peace entourage and say, look, what's it going to take to make peace? How much am I going to have to pay you? Because that's how it would work back in those old days. You know, a king would march against another king and the other king would be like, yeah, this guy's going to kick our ass. You know, I mean, I can't. We're not going to be able to defend against him. So you would send out a peace emissary while they were still far off. You would have your ambassadors meet with the king and be like, look, you know, we don't want to fight y'all. We know you can beat us. What's it going to take? And the king would say, well, you're going to have to give me, you know, how many thousand pounds of gold and this and that and the other. And, you know, then we'll be good. And they'll go back and tell the king. King be like, well, they're going to take it anyway. So we'll go ahead and give them the gold. And then they would. They'd take it out and give the king that was coming against them the gold. And they'd turn around and march. Oh, they got what they wanted. They came. They were going to pillage them for their wealth. So, you know, that was really all they wanted in the end. So they sued for peace because, again, you're looking at this overwhelming opposition marching out against you. You got to decide, am I going to be able to take them on? Am I going to be able to defend my people against them? Or if not, I need to compromise. I'm going to need to figure out what I can do, you know, to what kind of peace terms can we come to so that they don't march in here and slaughter my people and destroy my kingdom. Let's continue on. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And again, he's not saying, look, he's not saying you got to go sell your house and just go live dirt poor in the streets and give up everything you have in the name of the Lord. It's not what he's saying. He's saying you've got to be willing to do that. When he says you forsaketh all that you have, he means forsaking it in your heart. Forsaking the things you're holding in your heart. He's not saying, look, go burn their house down and there you forsook it and now you're closer to God. That's silly. But he's saying that you've got to forsake these things in your heart. You've got to be willing. And that's why you got to read this stuff kind of in its context here of what he's saying. You go back to the very first part we read. You've got to be willing to give all of those things up. You got to be willing to face the reality that all of these people could very well turn on you if you speak the truth long enough. Society itself could turn on you. And he's, you know, you've got to be willing to forsake these things in your heart. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so ultimately, if you come up and you say, we're going to do these great things and we're going to do this and that, and I believe in this and that, and you try to rally people around you, and then in the end, you're not able to do the things we've covered here. You're not able to face the opposition, and it's understandable. But now you become a mockery. It's the salt that loses its saltiness. It's not fit for anything. You know, if you just started off, you never said anything, you know, and you just said, man, I'm just going to chill here. You know, I'm not going to make no waves. I'm going to sit here and be quiet and go along with whatever I'm told to do and keep this truth to myself and not say anything. You're at least not going to be mocked and ridiculed. Where if you claim that you're going to do all these things, you proclaim that you stand for all of these things, and then you wind up, you know, not being able to complete it or fall away, or even worse, just out and out, suddenly you claim to be opposite of that. You claim to oppose the very things that you used to promote. You wind up, man, it's worse than if you just hadn't said anything to begin with. You know, because then people, you know, they have no respect for you, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And this is the warning. And you've seen it time and time. Again, somebody's going to try to read the you talking about. No, we've seen this time and time again. And again, I'm not even being critical of people that we've seen over the years that have, you know, because again, you don't know. It's easy to talk hella shit, but you don't know until you're under the gun how you're going to react. I'm just saying, if you don't have something more than a want for fame or quasi-celebrity status or a hope to make money, those aren't going to be enough to see you through these things. And in the end, it'll collapse, because once those things are threatened, then the whole reason for doing it in the first place goes away. If you do the things you do, if you hold to the truth, if you hold to Christ, they can't take that from you. They can take everything else around you from you. They can crush you. They can make your life hell. They can do whatever, but they can't separate you from Christ. As we wrap up, why is this important for you? You're not planning to do videos. You're not planning to, you're just quietly living your life. as we see the chaos growing around us, as we see the demands that you adhere to outright lies that become more and more absurd by the day, which, by the way, is another illustration of chaos and control, you know, is the lies that they tell you have to go along with, you have to agree with, become more and more absurd by the day as the demands for submission and demands that you do as you're told, that you be controlled, as these things grow by the day. If you're going to walk in the light, if you are going to live your life not in the darkness of lies and pretending that this absurdity is reality, if you hate the darkness, if you hate the lies, and if you love the truth and you're going to walk in the truth, you're going to run into conflict. So you listening to this show, I mean, you may not, you know, yeah, you may not face the level of persecution that others will face, but you are going to face conflict on some level. You need to be prepared for this. This is why it's important to understand. You may sit here and think, well, I'm not going to do a podcast. I'm not going to proclaim the truth. And that's fine. I'm not saying you have to do those things. But understand that these demands that you go along with, the ever-growing absurd lies, the demands that you submit to the lies and renounce the truth, are going to continue to increase. They're going to continue to get more and more over the top. And at some point in time, you will have to decide, am I going to speak the truth? Am I going to stand in the truth and for who I am? Or am I going to keep selling out a little bit of my soul every day to go along with the lie, to agree with the lie, to just so I could try to buy another day? You try to buy another day of peace by simply selling a piece of your soul. Because every time you go along with the lie of the world, and you know it's a lie, every time you willingly go along, you submit and you go along with a lie that is demanded of you, you are actually selling a piece of your soul for what? Another day of peace. And tomorrow there'll be a new demand. Tomorrow there will be a new demand that you have to go along with. And the price will be yet another piece of your soul. Christ warned, what have you gained? You know, if you gain the whole, what have you actually gained if you gain the entire world but lose your soul? How much more absurd is it if you sell your soul out for nothing more than a few scant days of peace and quiet? Things to think about, things to reflect on is always what we shoot for here. I hope that you will continue to reflect on these things for perhaps after the show is over. And again, it's never my goal to make you think a certain way. It's to get you thinking about things from a different angle and reflect on these scriptures and these spiritual things. I think this is very, very important, ultimately important on anything you attempt to undertake. So we're going to wrap up on that note. One final thank you once again to those of you who are paying those tithes, financially supporting the show. I know it's tough in these corona times. I'm not asking you to empty your bank account. You know, hey, $5, $10, I don't care. Anything helps. So it is very much appreciated. We'll wrap it up on that note. And once again, we'll see you right back here next week for the ever popular Church of the Light fixture covering. Oh, no, Church of the Lampshade. We'll see you next week, folks. Try to stay sane and try to stay safe. We'll see you next week.